in St. John's chapter 3. St. John's chapter 3, verse number 1. We have several places to read tonight, and I'll try to hurry. I've been told by one man, don't have to preach it all tonight. So I'll try to let us out before 2 hours, I promise. I promised him, I said, I won't preach over 2 hours. So give myself a little space there. But I don't think I'll preach very long. St. John chapter 3, verse number 1. Said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, And verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I'm glad of that born again experience. I tell you, not just the joy that comes with serving God, it's just amazing. How I know people told me before how it was to be saved and testify to me and try to talk to me before I got saved. And I tried to believe them that it was good. I tried to believe them of the joy that it was, but I didn't know the joy that come with serving God. I knew what it was to come and sit in the house of God and feel the Spirit of God. I knew what the Spirit of God felt like when it come into the house of God. But I didn't know the joy that would come with serving God. And that born-again experience, it was just amazing that night that I come. I was sitting just a few rows back here, and I didn't come to church to pray. I didn't come to church that night to get saved. Didn't have no intention on praying. But we got here, and the Spirit of God got to moving. Got to talking to my heart, Brother Johnny, and I made my way down, and I knelt, and I laid myself on the altar. I mean, I laid everything out there, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, whatever. Just whatever I've got to do for you to save me, just I'll do it. And boy, I felt that joy. I felt that this Spirit of God that's beginning to settle down upon me. And Brother Steve, I felt that Spirit that when it started, it reached down there, and I began to feel that load begin to lift off my chest. And I didn't think I was under a big load. I mean, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. I didn't think I was toting such a great load until the Lord started lifting it off. And then I got the feeling the load of sin began to roll off from my shoulders. And whenever that joy came in, I mean, I could not explain it. I mean, I was trying to let people know how I was feeling on the inside, but it's something that was not explainable. It was just a great day to be saved. And I tell you, I would like to preach to us here just for a few minutes. And I'm going to get to a text here. Reading in Titus chapter number 1, verse number 16, said, They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. My. A good born-again experience. And then we read, and Titus said, they profess that they know God. The Lord dealt with me that Saturday was 3 months ago today on the difference in a born-again experience and a professed experience. The difference in a born-again experience than professing an experience. You know, we're living in a day that Christianity and the churches, we got more churches in America different denominations. I mean, you go to a town, there's a church on every corner. Every one of them professing something. And everybody professing that they going to heaven. They professing to be saved. They go to church faithfully. And they profess that they know God. We read there where Jesus said, except a man be born again. Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He just did not understand. And he asked Jesus the question, how can a man, when he is old, be born again? He was trying to figure out. He was looking out of the natural eye. And Jesus began to speak to him. He said, a man is born of flesh, it's flesh. But a man is born of the Spirit, he is spirit. There's a lot of difference in saying I'm saved than being born again. And there's a lot that goes with salvation. And I thought about Amber there. We got a young girl there at our church, and she hadn't been saved maybe, 3 months now, I think, somewhere along there. And just lived her life in sin. And, I mean, you could tell it. But she showed up at the house of God, and Brother Tim Mock, and she came and she knelt and began to pray. Didn't know anything about the Lord, very, very little about the Lord, but she got to praying, and after a while, the same God that reached down and saved me reached down in her life and saved her. I'm talking about born again experiencing God. Not this here, pat him on the back and say, that's it, and go on home, you got it now. Come on now. I'm talking about something that whenever it comes, you know for yourself. Ain't nobody got to say this is God and this is salvation. It's just something that speaks for itself. And this young lady got saved and naturally her not knowing much about church and things of that nature. She was just living her life. But I began watching her over the last few months. And I mean, a woman that didn't know anything. You couldn't tell it now. She's got some tattoos, and I mean, oh, look at them things, and God does too. Come on now, but I noticed some things, brother. You know what happened? Her desires began to change. Her radio station began to change. And there's a different desire came into her heart, and that was the things of God. And the reason why was that it wasn't born of the flesh, but it was born of the Spirit of God. And a man that stands to his feet and says, I am born again. He has said, I am in the Spirit of God. I am like God. I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. So if he's got the Spirit of God living inside of him, he's going to walk like Christ. He's going to talk like Christ. No matter where he's at, no matter if he's in the house of God or he's down yonder on the street corner somewhere and nobody looking, he's going to still walk like God. He's going to still be a Christian. No matter if he's by himself. And if he's in the company of the worst sinners, he's still going to live right. Huh? Come on now. But in 2011, we living in a church hour, brother, where this is not going on. They'll come to church, just bear with me, and I'm going to try to deliver my heart as short a time as possible. But we living in a hour, brother, where our young people, they'll come to the house of God, and they'll run to an altar with tears a-flowing, and they'll pray for a while, Brother Jamie, and then they'll raise their hands, and they'll jump up and say, I got it. The Lord saved me. But you give them just a month maybe, sometimes shorter than that, and they right back indulging their lives in the same pain that they said God just saved them from. I'm preaching to you tonight on the difference in a born again experience and somebody just professing that they got saved. When a man gets born again, he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Come on now. That's what happened over 11 years ago. Right there, I had a great plan in my life. I mean, I had plans for the next night. I had plans to go out into the world. minds and to go down and give me something to drink. Come on now. And it wasn't Dr. Pepper, brother. Hey, but whenever I met the man right here, all of that got changed around. I can't explain it. I cannot tell you how it happened. All I can say is something happened right there that night that changed me inside and out. Come on now. I'm talking about meeting a man that not only changes or take off the load, but he changes the desires in your heart. I was hooked on things. I'm going to try to take my time, not get ahead of myself. But I was hooked on things, brother. I loved to drink, and I loved my cigarettes. Come on now. I mean, I was addicted. Had an addiction I could not break. I throw the pack down. I say, I'm not smoking no more, and I'm not drinking another drop. But give me a couple of hours. If I throwed it out by the road, my truck went right back to the same spot. And I got outside the road and looked for it. Come on now. I'm talking about something I could not get away from. I was bound by it, and I could not break it. I was taught and raised right. I sat under one of the finest men. My granddaddy was a great man of God, and he talked to us many a time. I was raised by two of my best parents, and they taught me from my youth to serve God and to live for Him. But I went away from all of that, and I went my own way, and I got into a place where I was bound by sin. Come on now. I was addicted to them things. But come on now. When I met the man. Whenever, you know, when I was telling you a while ago, I got to feeling that load. You know what that was? That addiction that I had. He reached down yonder and he said, I'll take this. Come on now. I preach to people that says, you got to sin every day. You can't live above it. I preached in the prisons for 6 years. I know what it is to have people professing to be saved. Come on now. I mean, boy, as long as they locked up, they was, I'm way up yonder. They was higher than I was. They was rejoicing. They was shouting. They'd come to the house of God. They would testify. They would kick their heels and tell how God has changed them. But the moment they walked outside the gate, all of that changed around. And they went right back to the same old hog pen. They went right back to the same old people that they one time run around with. You know what happened to me when I got saved, brother? All of my friends out yonder that I one time had, I had no desire to be around them no more. No, I loved them, and I had them come to my house, and they say, let's go do this or that, and I say, I can't go. Why? Because I got church tonight. I've got to go to the house of God. They say, where's the weekend? I say, if you want to go, you're welcome to go, but I ain't going with you. I got to go to the house of God. They profess that they know God, but in works. You know, we got people sitting in our houses in the Holiness Church. They profess, but if you follow them every day and you watch them real close, you're getting quiet now. Come on now. Salvation is not what's wrote on the church pew or right on the front door of the church. Come on now. Just because you attend a Holiness Church don't mean you know God. You can go to the Baptist church and meet God. You can go down into the barroom and meet God. Come on now. You can meet God wherever you want to meet Him at. It's not just what's wrote on the front door. Come on now. I've had people say, I go to the Holiness Church. In other words, that just put the cap on it. I'm saved and I'm a holiness person. I seen them, boy, they look good when it comes to the outward. Come on now. I mean, you could dress it just as pretty and live it just as good. But boy, when you opened up the inside of it, come on now, there was a different picture on the inside. I mean, the outside looked holy. They spoke of God and they spake it like they was holy. But when you open up the heart, come on now, you cross them just right and you go against the flesh just right. You rub the feathers wrong. Oh, come on now. They'll fly off the handle and get mad. They'll poop their lips on and run. Come on now. They'll run to the telephone. They'll jump on the phone and run you down it way. Come on now. Ah, you say, well now, hey, you don't you know that gossip is sin? Come on now. Don't you know going against your brother is sin? I know this ain't going to get me many revivals here, is it? I'm not here preaching for revivals. I'm here preaching because God dealt with me to preach the word of God. Huh? Come on now. I read in 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 8. And he said, he that committeth sin of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous in is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should, love. Thought you might shout tonight, didn't you? Huh? You thought you was born again, didn't you? Come on now. I don't question nobody's experience. Don't get me wrong. If a man says he's saved, I believe it till I see otherwise. Come on now. The Bible says, you know it's the tree by the fruit it bears. If a man's saved, he's going to bear the fruit of Christ. But if he's not saved, after a while, it's going to show up. There's a rotten apple going to fall off the tree. Come on now. Just give it time. That's what I've always told me and my wife. I told my wife, some people say, jump up and say, I've got saved. I say, give it time. Let's watch them. They may have got it. That's good if they did. But give it time. After a while, you'll see if good fruit falls or if that sour apple's going to fall. Come on now. Well, don't you know, brother, we all know that gossip is sin. I mean, I just ask you the question, their hands went up in the air, but I wonder how many, if we could look in the hearts of men, Brother John, how many of these people are sitting in this house tonight, just this week, got on the phone and talked about something you should not have talked about. Come on now. And then you ascend it to the house of God, and then you put on the show that everything in your heart is like Christ. It looked like Christ. Come on now, let me preach to you a little while. I'm not here trying to throw stones at anybody. I'm just trying to preach what God dealt with my heart on. I mean, 3 months ago, at about 5 o'clock in the morning, in prayer, God spoke to me on this, and he said, you'll preach it at the campground. I had no idea the same day that Brother Jim was going to ask us to be ready for this weekend, but I didn't know that God said, you'll preach it here. And that's one thing I stuck with. I was going to preach it right here on Saturday night. I did not understand it at the moment. But when Brother Jim asked the question, are you going to be ready? Or was you available for this weekend? The connection made, and I knew that God was sending a message. You thought holiness preachers was all on the outward standard, didn't you? Come on now. I mean, we living in an hour, holiness man, get up.
preach the outward standard. He'll preach to our young people, and don't get me wrong, I do not agree with these short things that's going on. I believe it's of the devil. I believe if they get the heart right, they'll take it off. Come on now. I believe if a man gets established in God, he'll line up to the word of God. The difference in a born again experience and a professed experience. A born again man does not have no trouble living for God and dressing right and talking right. But a man that's professing it and do not have an experience in God, he finds it a battle. He finds it a trouble. He finds it a hard load to tote to try to live right. Come on now. You know I didn't have no trouble throwing that carton of cigarettes out the window. Come on now. You know I didn't have no trouble getting rid of what little jewelry I had. Come on now. Them short pants I had, it didn't bother me a bit. Come on now. You know it did not bother me to drive by the liquor store I used to buy my liquor. Come on now. But some of you profess to be saved, and it bothers you when you go shopping because you want to buy things. You have to turn your head because there's a desire. Come on now. There's a reason that you desire the things of the world. Come on now. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I told my wife, I said, it's going to probably get quiet. You know what it means a lot of times it gets quiet. People gets uneasy. You get to preaching with people where they live every day. Uneasiness comes over you. All of a sudden you don't feel like... Come on now. Why? It's because the Spirit of God talks to you. Get you uneasy. You know, there are... I'm trying to be careful here. I respect my elders. Come on now. I was taught to respect my elders. But you know, we've got some elders that is said in the house of God. Come on now. Never see the desire to get close to God. Amen. They have sat in the same place for years and years and years and years. Come on now. Your young people's coming back behind you saying, well, they sat there for years and they still profess I can do the same thing. Come on now. Come on now. Brother Tim, we've got them sitting in our churches. There's a reason why when we gather together in the house of God, our numbers are down. Come on now. There was one time we would gather together in a service like this. The preacher probably wouldn't have got to preach. Come on now. Because we got the feeling the Spirit of God a while ago. And you know what happened, brother? There was been so many here that came looking just for a feel of the Spirit of God. That they would have got up and went with that Spirit. They would have yielded their self unto the Spirit of God. The reason why we don't have people yielding themselves and following after the things of God anymore, because they hide in things. They're afraid something is going to come up. They're afraid they're going to be exposed if they get out. Come on now. Well, if you don't get out, you're going to be exposed. It may not be in this life, but at the judgment, you will not get by that day. Come on now. I mean, we've took gossip. I don't know why that keeps coming back to my mind, but we took our telephone and we took running our mouth and tearing down the people of the house of God until the lost people don't even want to come back to church. Come on now. I mean, we have them, brother, that when they do show up, they say, well, you just come because this is going on, or because you're being fed today. Well, if that would get them to the house of God, we need to prepare a meal every Sunday. We need to cook every night and invite them to the house of God. But what the fact of the matter is that our church people have drifted so far away from the Spirit of God that our lost children have nothing to come to the house of God for, because the people, have tore one another up one side and they've tore them down the other side, and they have no confidence in the people inside in the church. Did you know what I heard? Brother Steve was, I heard this and I heard it from a good source. Come on now. Somebody I've got good confidence in. Come on now. I mean, a man of God told me this. Seen Brother Steve not on the street corner talking to another woman. Come on now. Yeah, and don't tell nobody I told you this now. I told the person that told me, I promised him, I wouldn't tell nobody, but I felt that you need to be praying for him because I think you're a good person too. Come on now. Well, you know what's going to happen when you get off the phone, because you called a reliable source that wasn't going to say nothing to nobody. They're going to pick up the phone. They're going to feel led to call somebody else from another church. And they're going to call. You know what I was just told? They called Brother Steve renting a motel with another woman. Come on now. And well, another reliable source came in. Don't tell nobody. Come on. Now, well, that person jumps off the phone. They call somebody slapping another state. You know, Sister Rochelle and Brother Steve are getting a divorce because he's running around on her. Come on now. That's just the way it happens, brother. It starts off in a standing on a street corner, but it winds up in a divorce. That's the way it happens in the homeless church. And if we don't get it stopped, brother, where are we going to send our children that they may meet the Lord? Where are we going to get them saved at? If when they come to church, in the back of their mind they said, if I do this, they're going to talk about me. They're going to run me down. They're professing that they do this, but in their heart they're far from God. Don't think for a minute that our children, our lost people, is not watching us. And I'm going to try to pull it to a close. I'm going to try to stick with that and keep it short in 2 hours. What about it? As far as I know, everybody in the house is the same. Come on now. As far as I know, everybody professed something. Come on now. As far as I know, everybody's faithful to go to church. Come on now. But what is God looking at? What did God see you do this week? Huh? What did God write down in His book about you this week? You didn't know he's got a book and he's writing everything down, don't you? You know, he probably wrote some stuff about me today. Come on now. I hope he wrote down he done good. He done well. Come on now. My granddaddy used to say, if you hear him say, well done, it's going to be because you've done it well. Huh? Because you live good. You strived every day to live for God. Some of y'all saying, well, he's missed it tonight. Brother Jim, they start throwing things, I'm going to duck. I told my wife before we left the house, I don't know if she heard me or not. I said, I might holler and say, get the car. Pull to the door. Come on now. You know the reason why I come and prayed right here? Because I wanted to get saved. Amen. I wanted a new life. Amen. Come on now. I wanted to go to heaven. Come on. I mean, I could ask each and every one of you here tonight, do you want to go to heaven? Come on now. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But you know what the sad thing is? Everybody don't want to live the way they need to live to go to heaven. Some people think they could just slip in. Some people think they can come up another way. He said it'd be same as a thief and a robber. Come on now. I consider myself to be young. I'm getting older now. But I'm still holding on to the young age. Come on now. I'm just a boy. Come on now. But we're living in a group of young people. We got some that they got a good heart. They want to live for God. But then we got some that like to play around the house of God. When trouble rolls, they'll pray. When mom and daddy scold them just right, they'll pray. But when they get off by themselves. I was preaching in the prison one night. Colored man there gotten saved. I'm being got saved. Born again. Was no questions. I told him if I ever seen a colored man turn white, I did that night. He was jumping about this high. He didn't know what he had. All he could say is, I've got it, I've got it. That's all he could say. And I mean rejoicing. And it didn't wear off. It was just, one night, I was having service, or was finna start service, and one of the boys came up and talked to me. He called the boy by name, and he said, you know, such and such, that got saved the other night. And I said, yeah, it's been like a month or so. I said, yeah, I know him. He said, you're going to have to talk to him. I said, about what? You know, my mind was running like, what am I going to talk to him about? He said, every morning at 4 o'clock, he wakes the whole dorm up praying. Come on now. Well, about this time, this colored man was coming in the door, and he overheard it. And he come over, and he grabbed him by the arm and said, Brother Nathan, I don't mean to disturb anybody. He said, but when I get to praying, I get to feeling something. And something comes over me, and I just cannot help myself. And before I realized, I done woke everybody up praying. Huh? This young man got up. He'd get a testifying spirit of God to fall. And I mean, it would fall in the house. And he got up one night and got to testifying. He got testifying along the lines I'm preaching about professing. He got to talking to them boys. He said, I live with y'all, I eat with y'all, I sleep with y'all. We're together all the time. He said, I know how y'all live every day. Now, some of you got good heart, but some of you play God like a light switch. Come on now. You'll come into church, you'll turn it on. You'll smile and raise your hands and rejoice. But the moment you go out, you turn it off and cuss your neighbor out. Huh? Come on now. I thought to myself, I said, man, we need you to come to some of our holiness churches. They get behind the preacher, but the time they walk out the door, they turn it off and go run him down somebody. Come on now. The pastor gets up and preach, and you can ask my our church there at Westside, I believe in a pastor. I believe a pastor is the head of the church. And there's nothing going to change that. You cannot change the Word of God. I believe that's where it is. I believe that a church that without a pastor cannot stand. I believe a church that lives without a pastor will not live very long, for it's going to fall because they don't have a leadership. That just goes along with a pastor. Come on now. But you know we've got people that do not want to come under a pastor. Come on now. I mean, they cannot come under that leadership of a pastor. And you know the Bible's against that. Come on now. A sheep that will not be led is going to go astray somewhere. Come on now. A sheep that will not come under a pastor and be led by a pastor and a church and be led by, come on now, and become a body of Christ. They're going to go astray somewhere and a wolf's going to catch them. Huh? A church without a pastor, a wolf will come in and they'll never know it. Because I don't know why I'm getting on this, but I'm finna close, I promise you. I'm not going to meddle too long. But a church that don't have a pastor will not see the wolf coming. Huh? I've seen it from experience. I've watched churches without a pastor and I've watched what it done to them. I've got some good friends. Some close friend that is backslid because they didn't have a pastor. We've talked to some of the church members and they say, well, we like it just like it is. Whew. Meddling now, ain't I? Come on now. I preached not long ago, well, it's been a little while ago at home church. Boy, I was nervous. What I had to preach. I got to preaching on what happens to a church when you cut the head off. Huh? I had my pastor backed in a corner. Come on now. A church without a pastor. It runs around like a chicken with his head cut off. With no sense of direction. And a person that'll tear down the pastor. A person that'll run down the man of God. You can mark that person. It won't be long till the wolf is going to grab him. He might not pull him out of the church's pew. He might not convince him to go somewhere else. He might not convince him into backsliding and or just getting away and out of the church completely. But you know the devil's satisfied with you sitting on the pew and going to hell. He'll be just satisfied with you sitting right in the house of God. And dying and going to hell as he would be out on a drunkard somewhere. That's just the way the devil is. I'm through tonight. May the Lord bless you. I appreciate you letting me preach for a little while, your attention. But let's find us a place to pray. Don't pray about your neighbor. Don't pray about your pastor. Don't think in your mind while you're praying where he hit so-and-so. But when you come, pray for yourself. And say, God, is there anything there? Church, I want to go to heaven. I want to take as many people as possible to go. I was hoping I could preach better than this tonight. But with a message like this, I understood that when you preach against the flesh, that it's just hard. But I don't want anything, Brother Bruce. Nothing in this world. No friends, no family. To come between me and God. And to cause me to do something that God would mark my name out. May the Lord bless you, everybody at will. Let's come in. Let's find some place to pray.